Welcome to The Wolf Den, the podcast about the business and people of podcasting.
I'm Chris Bannon, Chief Content Officer at Midroll Media.
I'm Lex Friedman. I am the Chief Revenue Officer at the same company. That's incredible.
That's
what a
great
coincidence.
How did we do that? Today, our guest is Rena Unger. But before we get to that...
Yeah, first we're going to talk about our favorite segment, shows we're jealous of. Chris, what are you jealous of this week?
Of
course, this is where we highlight shows that aren't mid-roll shows, but that we kind of wish were.
Well, it's funny because we just announced earlier this week that we're doing this series, Stranglers, about the Boston Strangler case. And I, coincidentally, APM Reports has started a series called In the Dark. It's an eight-part series about the Jacob Wetterling case in Minnesota, which I lived in Minnesota 20 years ago, and it was a 27-year-old case, and it was still big news like 3 years after he disappeared, what was happening, what's going on. So they're exploring why the case wasn't solved. I think they had this also incredible luck that I'm particularly jealous of as a former producer, reporter, and that is they put out their podcast on the day the police revealed who the killer was.
Wow.
I mean, how does that happen?
That's pretty good time.
So anyway, I recommend it. I thought it was very well produced, and it's a sad story, but there's a lot, inside it that they're going to unpack. What about you, Lex?
Well, on our last episode, you were traveling, but we had Mike Hurley from Relay FM, and on his episode,
I thought I'd been fired.
No.
Okay.
One can hope. But back then when Mike was on, I talked about a Relay FM show of his that I was jealous of, and I'm going to do another Relay FM show this week. This will be my last one, so nobody at Relay FM should get too inflated in ego, but...
I bet their numbers are going through the roof, but go ahead.
Of course. They have a show called Mac Power Users. It's hosted by a former lawyer turned full-time Apple pundit named David Sparks, and his co-host is a wonderful woman named Katie Floyd. And they typically bring on somebody from the general Apple community and talk about the cool ways that people use their computers, iPhones, iPads. And I mean, I consider myself a power user, but you listen to these people and they talk about their workflows and the apps they use and the technologies that they're using to make their lives better. And I don't know, I always walk away from that show learning something, and I like that.
I see the glow in your face.
Thank
just
you.
As a result of that. Rena, what about you? Is there a show that you're listening to that you're really nuts about right now?
I am binge listening to Invisibilia. I love those women. I think that they really pull back the veil on some interesting conversations.
So is there anything, I listened to season one, I haven't yet cracked season two. Is there anything you can tell me about season two that I should listen for especially?
I like the Batman episode where where Lulu brings her blind friend into the conversation, and they talk about how blind is more of a state of mind than an actual physical condition. It's really interesting.
Wow, that is interesting.
All right, well, I will listen to season two and the Batman episode.
Well, so that voice you just heard of, again, is Rena Unger. She is the Director of Industry Initiatives at the IAB, the Interactive Advertising Bureau. The IAB brings together companies in digital advertising and marketing to develop technical standards and best practices in the field and to educate brands, agencies, and the wider business community on the importance of digital marketing.
Wow.
Yeah. She is the lead of the IAB's Digital Audio Committee, which Midroll participates in. She also leads the Digital Out-of-Home Task Force and Multicultural Council. Prior to joining IAB, Rena held leadership roles at SiriusXM, Viacom, Universal McCann. We asked Rena to be on the Wolf Den in part because we're just giant fans, in part because she has a unique viewpoint on podcasting and digital audio in general, and of course, she was the mastermind behind the very recent IAB podcast Upfront. Well, Rena, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to
have
be here.
You recovered?
Yeah.
From the Upfront?
I have.
I think we should just, can you just briefly describe what the Upfront is? Because our listeners may not have been there, don't know what it is.
Sure. An Upfront is a traditional media marketplace, and we founded it together with our members last year, and we created a podcast Upfront showcase, which was meant to be a light introduction to the marketplace and say podcast is putting a stake in the ground and is a viable medium that brands and advertisers should consider. And this year, we grew to essentially double the content and a much larger audience with more serious conversations around content and capabilities. And the objective was to make sure that advertisers and brands walked away knowing that this platform offers something unique that other platforms don't. And I'm certain that we accomplished that from talking to the clients that attended after.
That's my perspective too. Of all the presenters, who was your favorite?
Midroll, definitely.
Okay.
Midroll.
Yeah. Good. Wow. We didn't even have to
I love
feed her
everyone
that
the same.
All your children equally?
Oh, I think what you all delivered was very representative of the space. So everyone had a very unique perspective of podcasts. We had two companies that delivered stunts, two companies that did case studies. We had a number of companies that had major A-listers. We had one company that had no talent. And I think it shows they had talent present through a recording. But I think it shows what the space is about, and the space is about authentic storytelling. And that can come from any different angle.
Do you feel, I mean, what made you decide to have an upfront in the first place? What was the moment where you said it's time this industry did this for itself?
I believe it started from the members. My understanding is Jacob Weisberg and Randall had a conversation about this. And
Jacob Weisberg at Slate?
At Slate, correct. And Randall Rothenberg, who's the CEO of IAB. And when I started, Carl Calapesi, who hired me, knew that I had upfronts in my background. So I spent a number of years at Universal McCann attending upfronts, and I had worked at VH1 and worked on our upfront there. So when he found out I did have experience in creating them, there wasn't an existing template, and they needed somebody with that frame of reference to know what the mark is from both sides. So I knew what buyers wanted to experience, and I knew the goals of the publisher side.
Sure. And what's interesting about the way the podcast upfront has worked in the first 2 years, right? The first year was... Was it five companies, six companies?
It was seven sessions, eight companies. There
okay.
was two,
like
one
no
company
air conditioning.
That shared.
Yeah.
Zero air conditioning.
And then this year's we had 12 presenting companies, right?
And air conditioning. Yeah.
And so it's a long day, and I know that there's conversation about do we go multi-day, is there a different way? But what's the place where the industry is right now makes this upfront different from how other forms of media are doing theirs, right? Because if you think about television, each network has its own upfront,
right.
And they do them kind of grouped together because that's the same way the color dealerships are all lined up on the same block. But I know that NPR and Gimlet have tried to do their own in the past. Do you think that that's where it's going to go, or do you think it's better for the industry to try to keep everybody in one room at one time?
I think for right now, for podcasts, it is in your best interest because it's not about competing with each other. When you're talking about even the big five television networks, it really is about pulling dollars from each other. And with podcasts, the opportunity really right now is awareness, making sure buyers and brands know that there's an audience that is untapped anywhere else. And I'm part of that. So I am a true testament. I don't watch any video content whatsoever.
You're the best.
I'm completely unreachable except for podcast.
Yeah.
And if you want to advertise to someone like me, I'm only interested in high quality storytelling content. And for me, it's really that one-to-one connection when I'm working out at the gym and that's where you reach me. So yep.
Well, I was just going to say, so what do advertisers say to you about this thing that you're introducing them to? Like, I'm curious about the feedback from people who are used to working in very traditional media. How do they look at our space, the place we're doing business in? And what do they say that you may feel you need to translate to those of us who make the shows?
I think, can we say the M word? Are we ready to say it now? I think everyone's anxious to have measurement, right? Measurement is the business exchange of they're all estimates anyway. So it's not exactly what you're getting, but it's a baseline of estimates saying this is what I'm paying and this is the estimate of what I would get in return. I think that's what the buy side is waiting for to really put the momentum into this industry. I think it's undisputable with the success of something like Serial, which put this on a global map in the most phenomenal way. And it became a phenomenon overnight. And it's not going away. It's only growing, right? We had Katie Couric on stage. We had Marc Maron on stage.
Right.
We had major stars saying that they're in this for the long haul. And there's something about this platform that they're not getting on other platforms where they can put their voice out there in the way that they want to.
To me, because people ask me why I think at least this moment keeps happening for podcasts as a business and podcasts as an advertising mechanism. And to me, the biggest distinction between podcast ads, it's not even the host reads, although I think that's tied directly to it, but it's that people are actually paying attention to the ads, where most of the time, with the exception of like the Super Bowl, we are very well trained as humans in society to ignore ads wherever they are.
I'm not even listening to you now, as a matter of fact.
Thank you. Because I'm advertising for myself. But the... some of that measurement piece I want to report on whatever measurement we can possibly have, and I think that advertisers will appreciate what we do have over time. But I think that the fear that I would get is that advertisers and some in the industry are hoping to get more digital-like measurement, where it's an exact impression count and know exactly who listened and when. which is, I think, the flip side of a coin of moving away from the ads that have defined podcasting so far. And I think that the more we sound like spot radio, the less unique podcasting will be, and the more people will be happy to ignore
the
ads.
So your fear is that the needs of the advertisers will drive us there, whether we should go there or not.
I think that if we cave to advertisers who want us to be able to measure exactly how many people heard it, like if we go the Pandora way, that's the risk, because nobody listens to Pandora's ads. Sorry, Pandora, unless they're on your committees, in which case I apologize.
Pandora is on my committee, but I pay for my subscription.
Okay,
sorry, Pandora. Again, completely unreachable outside of podcasts.
Right. And so with the, you know, I obviously Nick Kwa from Hot Pod was there at the IAB up front as a member of the press. And he had and some interesting things to say in his, he's an industry analyst.
Are you going
to
quote the whole newsletter?
Because we only have
an hour-long show. Yeah.
He suggested in the Hot Pod newsletter, which I'm sure you saw, that he felt that an upfront style presentation was a poor fit for podcasting, wondering why upstart new digital medium would adopt an old media tradition. This is a quote. He had the feel, and I think this might be just an attack on my suit, but he said it had the feel of, quote, a child wearing a much too big blazer. And at the same time.
Hey, that was your suit.
Thank you. At the same time, quote, the feel of a much too older man at a college party. What do you think of Nick's assessment?
I think everyone's entitled to their opinion.
You're so diplomatic. My goodness.
Yeah, no wonder you've risen.
Two, I would love to give Nick a hug the next time I see him. His lens is interesting, that's for sure. What we did is, you can't compare it to anything else that exists in the industry right now. Podcasts took one of the boldest moves. You're not doing your own individual upfronts. You are sharing one stage. You have 12 competitive companies that take off their competitive hats and say, let's work together to elevate this space and increase our pie together. That's unparalleled in the industry. That's not what's happening at the new fronts. They're in their own schedule and they're under the IAB umbrella. However, they have their own time slot, they run their own event, and they do their own thing. This was a complete collaboration from 9 a.m. once we opened the doors all the way to 8:30 when we closed the doors, and everyone worked together. And for me, being in this industry for two decades, I've never seen anything like it, and that's why this job has been so interesting to me, to work with people who really have a higher mission.
Yeah, it's funny. There's a great spirit of collaboration. I think what Nick fears in his writing is that will disappear, right? That it will become some sort of commercial shark tank in which that we race to the bottom in some way together instead of the way we are working together, I think, very effectively across companies that are ostensibly competitive with each other to try to grow the audience.
As things grow, there's always that potential, right? But I will say, and this is genuine and sincere, every person that I work with in podcast is so passionate and is here because they want storytelling to live in this way. And storytelling is nothing new. That's been on the planet as far as humans have been here. And what we are doing in podcasts is we are giving everyone from, you know, your local neighbor to Katie Couric, the opportunity to share their voice in the most vulnerable way. And that's why consumers are responding to it. And what we're doing is making that content accessible and free to the consumers who want to listen to it. There's a different level of passion in that. And I've been on the other side. You know, Lex introduced me. I've worked at Viacom. I was part of the reality television boom. And there was a different energy in launching
your
a show.
Your work
like
on The Bachelor was incredible, by the way.
Well, I worked on the launch of Flavor of Love. That was a phenomenon that nobody anticipated. But there's a different passion that goes into that than goes into this level of storytelling.
I'll say, you guys have both said that, you know, talked about how collaborative we are. And listen, we have many of our competitors that I would say that we feel as a company and I feel personally very friendly with. But I know that for my sales team here, to be blunt, there's a lot of anxiety about the way it goes right now because they feel like, hey, if we invite buyers who have only bought from us, now we're just exposing them to 11 other companies. Let's not. Don't invite all of our – and I'm guessing you hear that from each company individually, that there's some folks who are like, well, we don't necessarily want to invite everybody. In general, I am of the philosophy that the rising tide will lift all the boats. But there's – I know that late in the day there was a presenter who started his presentation by saying – I didn't hear everybody else's presentation, but whatever they can do, we can do and better, which is a competitive kind of statement.
Yeah.
he I was in the front row for that one. I do remember it. And I was sweating. And it started off, I wasn't, yes, right, I wasn't here for those presentations. And anything they can do, I can do too.
That's an Irving
and
Berlin that, song.
And I just I said, I was just like, whew, end yeah. it there. And then you're right, yes.
And also better. And
it was on a delay, and it was after I settled into my seat and took a breath. And then I was, yeah.
I laughed.
I mean, so it exists. Yeah. And it should exist, because I think competition is healthy, but there I hope the reason that you all come together is because you trust IAB to be that holder of collaboration sure. and trust and protection, because we do protect the invite lists and everything for you.
Well, let's talk more about the IAB, but first we're going to take a quick break because
okay.
we do have
ads?
A
we have
very
ads?
Cool sponsor. Chris, I don't know if you're familiar with this, folks. If you're a Wolf Den listener, you've probably heard us talk about the Now Hear This podcast festival.
No, never
it's
heard
coming
of
up October 28th through 30th in Anaheim, California. Now, Rena, I don't know if you've heard, but it's a weekend full of special live performances from dozens of the greatest shows in podcasting. If you love comedy, if you love storytelling, you won't want to miss it. The full lineup and schedule were just announced, and that means single-day tickets are now available, along with full festival passes and a few remaining VIP tickets. We've added some really fantastic new shows like NPR Podcasts, Embedded, and Pop Culture Happy Hour. If you go to nowhearthisfest.com to get tickets, you're going to see all the shows. I'm going to see if I can recite all of them. The Brilliant Idiots, The Canon, Combat Jack, Comedy Bang Bang Crack, Criminal Crybabies, Dear Prudence, Dinner Party Download, Doug Loves Movies, Embedded, Found, The Gist, Hello from the Magic Tavern, Hollywood Handbook, How Did This Get Made, NPR's How I Built This, The Incomparable, I Was There Too, Improv for Humans, Jordy Jesse Go, The Longest Shortest Time, Lore, Mark Maron, NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour, Tannis, The Memory Palace.
It's only an hour-long show.
When
are you going to finish?
Never Not Funny, Spontaneous Nation, Super Ego, and with special guest, Lauren Lapkus.
Wow.
Go to nowhearthisfest.com to get tickets along with information about schedule, hotels, transportation, and more.
I applaud that. That was beautifully done.
Thank you.
Rena, I wanted to ask you, because we were talking about the passion that's driving a lot of the people who make the podcasts that were presented at the Upfront, what drives you to – what made you choose the path of working with people in audio? And because you were at Sirius, I know,
right.
but you've also been in commercial advertising and you worked in television. What's the siren song that lures you over here to the dark side of audio?
Well, I'm an innovator by nature, so I've always sought out roles that had that opportunity to create a first for the industry. And prior in my career overseeing the L'Oreal Paris account, I helped create the first full reality series integration with Project Runway, which still exists today.
Yeah.
I worked on the first sponsored flash mob with Honda Civic and MTV Networks. And coming to a trade organization, you're driving digital forward. So there was a lot of opportunity to create some firsts. And mm-hmm. that's what was appealing about the Upfront last year, was bringing my existing experience and saying, how do I shape this for audio? And I think audio is incredibly interesting because it offers the consumer and the listener the opportunity to have that theater of a mind experience and tap into your imagination and connect with the host on a more intimate level, because you're creating them in your mind.
How is it different from radio? How would you say podcasting is different from radio?
I believe the choice, right? You're seeking out those hosts. You're choosing when to listen, how to listen. You're connecting with them through different networks that doesn't exist in radio right now. I think radio is available. It's there when you want it.
One of the worst things you could say about any medium, really. It's available.
It's available.
I think if radio had embraced DVR and on-demand the way that television eventually found its hand forced to embracing, then I don't know that we'd be as successful as we are. I think that maybe mm-hmm. that would have taken the place of the podcasting boom. Because it's you're opting to listen to the show that you're paying attention to.
And I'll speak from my own personal opinion. For me, radio becomes background. I'm a visual learner and a kinesthetic, like hands-on learner. So audio can be very hard for me, and I have to pay attention and commit to listening. So when I'm listening to podcasts, it's when I'm doing something like running on the treadmill. Then I know that I'm going to be able to commit and listen. But I've tried to listen to podcasts while I'm cleaning my house, and I can't because I can't focus. So I have to know that I'm giving that 30 minutes to an hour to that podcast, and I'm present.
What speed do you listen at?
Oh, good question.
Do you listen at regular playback speed?
Yeah, regular playback speed.
Good,
yeah.
Good for you. There are some people.
I listen at around 1.5 to 2x speed.
No.
And I will say, my wife typically does not listen to podcasts with me. At the same. Oh, John DeLore, our engineer, is very unhappy that
yeah, well, he should
not
be.
Not the way he's crafted it. But my wife was here listening to another show that's not ours, the West Wing Weekly, which had its first season finale last week. And I was listening in the car with her, and she's like, why are they talking like that? And I'm like, well, no, it's sped up. It's like, how can you listen? Well, you get used to it very quickly. But I want to listen to a lot of shows. There's only so much time in the day. But it's interesting that even house cleaning is too, it takes you too much away from the attention.
That must be some house.
My mom is a professional organizer, so house cleaning is very serious.
Yeah. You were born to be a producer. There was an article published this week in the Nieman Lab by Ken Doctor, and in it he said, we can mark 2016 as the year the podcast business came of age. Mm. Are we really grown up?
Yes.
Yeah, what is that?
Especially Chris, right?
Yeah,
well,
of course.
I'm like the oldest guy in this company.
Of course.
But I mean, because I'm not sure yet. We were just talking about how we're sort of all frenemies together. We still do this upfront together. We're sort of like marching, and we're like the nerds in high school gathered in one corner of the cafeteria while the rest of media goes off and, you know, cheerleads and plays on the football team. And I'm wondering, do you feel like we are a mature come-of-age having come of age
industry.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the way you come together speaks to the maturity and the commitment to turn this into a bigger business than it already is. I know that your advertisers are taking you seriously. I had a number of conversations following the upfront that the quote that I sent you all was really powerful. And one advertiser said that she will never make the mistake of leaving podcast off of her media plan. And that speaks to how mature and how important this is, because you're missing a segment if you don't include podcasts.
That's right. And a younger segment in many cases, and one that's very engaged with the medium itself.
Yep. Right? And I think you're exactly right, Rena, that, you know, the fact that Katie Couric and Marc Maron and, you know, Shaquille O'Neal and all those folks were there, I think speaks to the audience of buyers as, wow, I have to take this seriously. Like, if these people are here taking it seriously, then why am I not?
Yeah.
And I really think that certainly it was a more polished and more professional feeling event this year versus last year, although I liked last year's too, especially because I was in the morning before the air conditioning stopped working. But I think that, you know, there was just a momentum to this year's presentation where people are like, exactly like that quote you sent around, that people were, we can't miss this. I will tell you, I'm not going to say who the advertiser was because they haven't bought yet, but there was an agency buyer for a quick service restaurant that went up to one of my salespeople as soon as our presentation was done and was like, will Maron and Bill Simmons take this restaurant? And she was like, I think so. And then we got approval from them. Like they have never spoken to us before about that client. That client has never been on any podcasts. And now not just from our presentation, but really just from that day and the fact that those people were there and all gathered in that room made them get really serious very quickly.
If you were to look at all the people who were in that room who presented that day, are there pieces of very general but, you know, sharply critical advice you'd like to give to us as an industry? Because you do sort of stand above the rest of us, and you can look at, you know, the suit Lex wore or the other things that various presenters did. Did you walk away thinking, man, if I had you all in a room and there wasn't an audience, I would tell you A, B, and C?
Lex can tell you we had four consulting calls leading up to it.
I missed three of them, but I did send somebody from the company to go to each one.
But I had one-on-one calls with each company in 4 30-minute increments. So I had expressed everything.
Well, like what? What did you tell people in those calls?
Tone this down. Tone some.
So you
of this.
See their presentations ahead of time,
right? I rehearsed my presentation with Rena several times.
Yeah.
And I learned from last year. So this year, I don't know if I'm bragging too much, but she was like, "This is perfect. I have no notes for you." But last year, you know, she did.
You had like 400 slides last year. Thank when you. Started.
Yes, he scaled it back.
But last year, her biggest message to me was, you know, hey, you don't have to sell so much.
Yeah.
And so we toned down some of the salesmanship. And this year, you know, last year it was a different time for our company as well. But last year was, you know, here's all these great shows and like all the biggest shows in podcasting are here at Midroll. And this year, it was two slides of that, and then mostly, here are new shows that you should be paying attention to, where it was really about what is the actual content that we're making, and that's, I was proud that we were able
to focus on that. Is that a message you gave to a lot of other people, too, or did you find that you had to sort of massage, like, because we all come from different, or we all have different origin stories.
Right. Well, I spent, eight years on the buy side, so I received a lot of these presentations, and what didn't land well with me were when presentations were over pitchy. And I tried to pull all of that out, and we were successful in pulling that out.
In 11 out of 12 presentations.
Especially when you're doing, 12 rapid fire presentations. They're 20 minutes. And in that short amount of time, what I thought the value was, tell advertisers what's available, tell them why it's important on your platform, tell them what the capabilities are for them, and then add something special that makes you stand out. That was really my directive to everyone. And it started with Wondery, right? Putting on the eye masks and creating that theater of the mind experience and putting everyone into that real tone of audio. We had, like I said, case studies. We had advertisers on stage saying that with the message, Panoply is the message, saying that this was a unique brand and entertainment experience that couldn't be created anywhere else. And then we had huge stars coming and saying, I'm in this space because it means something to me and it's the way that I want to connect with people in the world.
It's awesome. And so what do you think, if you're thinking ahead to next year's, what should change?
That's a good question.
Get Lex a new suit.
You know, we're sending out a survey and we're going to collect some feedback. That's what we do at IAB is we really try and take in the intel and then evaluate and to make sure that we're making the right decisions for the community. And it's time for the buyers to tell us in mass, like, what did they take away from the event? How do they want us to grow it? And then we create advisory boards within IAB on the buy side and the publisher side. And then we work to form a template. And then we bring it to the working groups and then iron things out there. So we certainly want to hear from everyone. My opinion, I would keep it as it is. I don't know that I'd go to a two-day. I would keep it the one full day. And I would still offer what we offered this year. I think it was aggressive in programming, but it was so successful. It was so successful to experience all that. It was a long day.
Mm-hmm. I've definitely heard feedback from some advertisers that, you know, well, what if you split it up into 2 days? And I think that if you do that, you have the same problem that you have with one long day, right? Mm. There's people who aren't going to see everything.
Right.
Whether they come in the morning, leave in the afternoon, or vice versa, then they're going to come one day and not come the other day. My advice would be stricter application process. Not that there was any company there that shouldn't be there, but like a shorter day. No, really. I genuinely mean that. Every company that was presented should have presented. But to me, it's like keep the format the same. And if it's only 8 companies, then it's a shorter day. I know that would be very difficult because everybody wants to participate. But it was a long day.
It was a long day. And we made tough decisions like, you know, is a keynote necessary? Should it be 20 minutes? And there's a lot of programming decisions that go into it. I thought Larry Rosen from Edison did a great job with his share of ear and then the update that we commissioned from him to do. That was really valuable, but that's another area that we could cut if we needed to. But research is so important right now because what Larry shined a light on is that audio listening is a smaller percent of the audio pie, but those who are listening are only listening to podcasts. And removing that story from the day, I don't think helps the space.
Well, and if you're saying that buyers need to know about measurement, anytime you can put actual, you know, validated research in front of them is going to be very important for people like Lex who have to go out and do some persuasion afterwards.
I hire people to do that now.
oh, I forgot. Do we have to do an episode about your promotion?
No.
Okay.
No. We have to do an episode where a quick impromptu ad.
Yes.
We are hiring a head of sales. And if you go to midroll.com/jobs, you can see that job and whatever other openings we have. So if you're interested in joining Midroll, feel free.
I think any of our 4 listeners could apply for that.
Yes.
Is that right?
The competition is heated.
Speaking of the future, though, and slots to be filled, Rena, what's next for you?
That's a good question. Being the innovator that I am, I've had a number of firsts in my career, and I'm looking for the opportunity that's going to deliver that next first. The podcast Upfront is a huge feather in my cap, and it's been a really collaborative effort with a lot of incredible members. And if I were to walk away sooner than later, I'd be very happy with what I've created at IAB. And it would be for something that would give me the opportunity to create something even bigger.
Do you want to move to the content side to make things or run a network or something? Or are you thinking you want to stay on the business side that helps shape an entire industry?
That's a good question. I am a creative mind who understands business really well.
Hey, you got him to do a presentation. I think you should consider yourself an expert producer. Only four
Thank
sessions.
Thank you so much. Lex did a great job.
Yeah, I go on this show for the ego boost.
You do?
Yeah.
I can see why.
Do you listen to it at 1.5 speed?
Of course. You're much more tolerable that way.
Back to you, Rena.
So I don't know. I've been on many different sides of the industry. I've worked in account. I saw national broadcast buying, planning. I've worked in production, creative. I've been the creative arm of the ad sales team for over 10 years, both at VH1 and SiriusXM. And so I like to find different lenses in the industry. And that's why coming to a trade organization was interesting to see that neutral playing field. But mm-hmm. I wouldn't rule out going to a brand side and being a driver in buying. I wouldn't rule out going back into a deeper creative role. It would more be about how can I be in service to this industry and create something new that doesn't exist.
As long as you continue to listen at speed one, I am on your side.
Oh.
Okay? You can go wherever you want as long as you continue to use your ears that way.
I think the important thing is I can listen to 1.5 times as many things as Chris can in the same amount of time.
For me, it's about quality, not quantity. Mm-hmm.
Well, there we happen to agree, Rena.
That's where we disagree. Yes. I just want to hear the ads. Rena, one thing we always do on the show is ask our guests, especially given the kinds of people who would listen to a show about, the business and people of podcasting, ask them for advice.
Okay.
Now, you've gotten a lot of opportunity to talk to everybody on this side of the business in the podcasting space. But if you could tell them one thing, not upfront specific, but just industry specific, what's the one kind of piece of advice you would give to folks in this space?
The entire industry,
yeah.
Not just one side?
Everybody.
Or
any advice you want to give to podcasting in general?
So to podcasting, I would say stay true. The basis of the success of podcasting is that, and this word was, in some people's opinion, abused last week, but it is authentic. And there is something more vulnerable about putting somebody in front of a microphone and asking them to tell their story. You have to have the right cadence in your voice. You have to have that opportunity to be unfiltered and to tell your story in a way that lands with people so they feel it's true. You need to know what your point of view is of the story. There's a lot of components that go into podcasting. It's not just as easy as somebody sitting down at a microphone and starting to talk. They have to be brave enough to tell that story and articulate enough to deliver that story. So I just encourage everyone in podcasts to stay true, because one of the reasons I said don't oversell it is because you don't have to. It's already
right.
Successful because it's an uncontrolled environment right now, in that the hosts are able to be who they are. And Carrie Champion last year said it best. I don't know if you remember her, but she said that she worked for Disney and she's been shaped into a brand and all of these other platforms, but podcasts is where she was able to be true.
That's very cool.
So succinctly, stay true.
Stay true. Rena Unger is the Director of Industry Initiatives at the IAB. Rena, thank you for coming in.
Oh, thank you so much. This is my pleasure.
Really?
Yes.
You
this is my podcast debut. Yes.
We'll just keep talking. Lex, it's your turn now.
Well, our thanks to Paul Rees-Mandel for producing this show, and for the Reverend John DeLore for his help on the engineering side.
He wears those flowing robes like a real reverend.
I suppose I have to thank Chris Bannon, too.
And I'll thank you, Lex.
And don't forget to subscribe to the show via Stitcher, Earwolf.com, iTunes, whatever app you want to use. And until next time, we'll see you soon. I was going to say happy podcasting, but we don't say that anymore.
It's happy podcasting?
Whatever emotional reaction to podcasting you'd like to have.
It seems false to say happy podcasting. it's not even a... Yeah. So we're just going to say goodbye.
Yeah. Goodbye. Yeah. Perfect.
'Now Hear This' is coming to Anaheim this October. It's a brand new podcast festival where you can hang out with your favorite hosts and other podcast superfans, and everyone is going to be there. Everyone? Everyone. I'm talking Comedy Bang Bang.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Awesome! One of my favorite movies about one of my favorite places. WTF.
And then at first I thought, this is fun. Then I thought, I'm going to die.
And that's Louis C.K.'s work.
That's
Criminal.
Did you think for a second, I'm dying. I'm going to die.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was it. Absolutely.
The Moth.
They say that ghosts are people caught between two worlds. I'm caught between two worlds.
Plus, Super Ego, How Did This Get Made, Pop Culture Happy Hour, Spontaneanation, Lore, The Memory Palace, Tannis, Hello from the Magic Tavern, and over 30 podcasts in total. Tickets are going fast, including a very limited number of intimate VIP packages with reserved seating. So get yours now and learn all the details at NowHearThisFest.com.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.
Want to hear Earwolf pilots before anybody else? We made a podcast feed just for you. Earwolf Presents is full of great stuff, like preview episodes for upcoming shows, peeks behind the paywall, and pilots for podcasts that haven't even been made yet. It's like getting to listen in behind the scenes here at Earwolf. Starting January 21st, Earwolf Presents will have a bunch of new pilots for you, like Edgar Montplaisir's The Wokest. Catch conversations between the wokest man in the world and comedians like Risa Lechea. Also, hear upcoming pilots The Florida Cast, Wow, You're Native American Too?, This Week in Sports, and Carl Alarm all throughout the month. Let us know what you think of them with hashtag Earwolf Presents. Subscribe to Earwolf Presents to hear more great episodes from around the network and behind the paywall, like an episode of Drew Tarver's Strictly Business with Derek Contrera, or Act One of Matt Besser's punk musical, Stolen Idea. Just search for Earwolf Presents in your podcast app and subscribe so you don't miss an update.